grab some popcorn and a favorite chair. The love of movies is why we're here. Press play and don't delay. Let Phil be our guide to a cinematic day. Phil at the movies, from the silver screen to his podcast stream. Phil's covering every movie dream. Phil at the movies. Phil at the movies.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Phil at the Movies. As always, I am your host, Phil, and you are listening to show number 177 of this ongoing podcast that is, you guessed it, For the Love of Movies. And today I have two films to talk about with you, two films from A24 Studios, no less, two films garnering a lot of discussion. They have come out over the last few weeks to months, and one, I have to say, is worthy of all of the discussion and praise of it being one of the best films of the year. The other film I was equally as interested in, equally as excited to see, and I found it to be a bit more of a letdown, but I will keep you in suspense a little bit longer. At this time, if you could rate and review this podcast on Apple, it would help a great deal with the pesky algorithm and getting this podcast into the as many ears as possible. That sounds a little strange saying that, but you get the sentiment and idea. And as always, I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this show. It means the world to me. 177 episodes in, none of it would be possible without your support, your friendship, this cinematic community that we have created together, this cinematic journey we have been on together. It is all thanks to your support, your encouragement, your friendship, and yes, your love for movies, just the same as my love for movies. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And now, without any further ado, let me begin with my reviews of Friendship and Sorry Baby. All right, let us begin with the letdown, or the disappointment, I should say. The film Friendship, I had high hopes for going into it. The movie stars Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd. The premise of the film intrigued me. This is sort of a bromance gone wrong. And in the film, a suburban dad, Craig, played by Tim Robinson, falls hard for his new neighbor, Austin Carmichael, who happens to be a local weatherman on the TV. And he's charismatic and sort of has the life that Craig has always wanted. And they develop a bit of a bromance and a fast friendship, and it ultimately goes to hell in a handbasket, no less, and it kind of falls apart and threatens to destroy both of their lives, all because, to put it bluntly, Craig doesn't understand social cues. He doesn't know when to speak or when not to speak, and it creates a lot of challenges for this budding friendship. I had high hopes, as I said, because just based on the cast of Paul Rudd and Tim Robinson, I really thought, okay, this is going to be something special. And the premise itself intrigued me because it's sort of a kind of a look at, in a satirical way, almost a black comedy on the bromance phenomenon and sort of the nature of friendships and kind of, you know, people who try too hard. I think we've all been in those situations or experiences with friends or potential friends, or maybe even been in someone like Craig's shoes before, where we're trying to sort of ingratiate ourselves to somebody, trying to become their friend or vice versa, and it just doesn't go right. It just seems to fall apart. And while that is a clever idea, and the film does have some moments that stand out. Again, the humor in it is rather dry and subdued, which is it works because you have sort of two different comedic styles with Paul Rudd and Tim Robinson, but the film just sort of falls apart for me, and I never could quite decide, is this meant to be a full-on satire? Is it meant to be somewhat of a tragedy? There are moments in the film where I could see the shining glimmer of brilliance. I said, okay, they're on to something here. But then it sort of takes a few left turns and a few right turns, and then ends up going in circles, more or less. And there's even a sort of almost a Joker element to it, or a kind of a quasi King of Comedy element, which I suppose it works if you were just looking at this film as a satire, but it sort of tries to have its cake and eat it too. It's not a bad film by any stretch of the imagination. Again, I think the premise and the hook are intriguing, but it's the ultimate execution here. And I think kind of it wants to be this sort of big, elaborate sort of statement on friendship, on bromances, on sort of life in suburbia. But there's too much going on. There's a few too many threads. There's some elements with Craig's wife, played by Kate Mara, which sort of connect, but then never really develop or go anywhere meaningful. I don't know. This was a disappointment for me. And again, I had high hopes for it because the trailers, I thought, gave a good idea that, okay, this is going to be something kind of funny, but also out there, but also could be a little poignant at the same time. And it just sort of fell flat for me. Definitely a movie that has great ambitions, but just never manages to rise to the level that it sets out for itself. So that is the first film for today, Friendship. Again, was really looking forward to this film, but it just did not work for me, which, again, that's life, it happens. But I would say with this movie, if you were maybe on the fence of seeing it, because it didn't have a long theatrical window, I would say, I mean, if you are truly invested and curious, fine, go and check it out. But would I recommend this movie? No. I was watching it with a few other people, and they were bored throughout the entire runtime. It's not that long. It's about an hour and 40 minutes. But, you know, even I could acknowledge it sort of loses its energy and momentum. So I would definitely say skip this one, but don't skip this next film. Again, from A24, and it's Sorry Baby. Now, this next film, Sorry Baby, I have heard endless praise and recognition for this film ever since its premiere. And I was sorry that I never had a chance to see it in theaters, but it had a very short theatrical release, at least near me. And so it just never worked out with the timing and a day. So I've been sort of eagerly waiting to watch this film at home and finally had the opportunity. And I must say, I was a little, I wouldn't say skeptical, but the praise I have heard for this film is through the roof, with many calling it one of the best films, if not the best film of the year. And not that I sort of dismiss those calls, but you sort of wonder, okay, is this a situation where the expectations are already set so high, the film will never be able to match that? Well, I can comfortably say that the expectations were met with this film, and all of the praise, all of the recognition is warranted. Sorry Baby is easily in the running for one of the best films of the year. I found this movie to be extremely impactful and powerful, absolutely powerful. And for it being a directorial debut for Eva Victor, what a phenomenal start. They have hit it right out of the park with this film. And in addition to not only directing, but writing and starring in the film, playing the character Agnes Ward, a part-time literature professor who is attempting to piece together her life after a traumatic event occurs while in grad school. I mean, if this is the first film by Victor, I can't wait to see the second, the third, and so on. Because this movie, it's a gut punch, but it is surprisingly, I don't know if uplifting is the word, because there is a lot of heavy and emotional themes going on in this film. But there is a bit of a silver lining, if you will, a light at the end of the tunnel, a kind of a feeling that you may find that pot of gold at the other end of the rainbow after a terrible rainstorm. Now, let me set up the film for you. And there will be some spoilers, so if you haven't seen the movie yet and you want to savor this experience, I totally understand stepping away from the podcast, and you can revisit it after you've seen the film. All right, now that I've put that out there for the disclaimer, the premise of the film, as I said, involves Agnes, who is a part-time literature professor at a local college in some New England town. And I'll just start right off the bat. The cinematography of this film is breathtaking. Growing up in New England, being from this area, I really felt the movie captures both the tone and the look, if you will, of a small New England college town. And again, being someone who did go to a small college town, again, this really hit home in a lot of ways, just from the an iconography standpoint. And even the characters, sort of the locals in the movie, there's never that forced New England accent, or some might say a Massachusetts accent, that sometimes a lot of movies go over the top with. Everything felt real and grounded. In addition, the film makes a use of wit and humor to really make it an accessible story in a way, because, as I said, there's a lot of heavy themes and topics in this movie, which I think without the use of kind of black comedy, it would really be a depressing affair. But there's sort of that New England wit, if you will, the dry humor, a lot of it coming directly from Agnes, that sort of allows us to breathe, if you will, and allows the story to sort of take on a lighter tone, even as it's dealing with all of these complex ideas and situations. Now, setting up the movie, that was a long way of getting to this point, but something terrible has happened to Agnes in the past, but life goes on for everyone else around her, and she finds herself more or less stuck in neutral. She is a part-time professor at the same college that she went to for her graduate degree. She's still living in the same house that she lived in back while she was in grad school. Life has moved on around her, and her best friend, Liddy, played by Naomi Ackie, she is on the verge of having an important milestone in her life. She's about to have a baby, and it's through that announcement that Agnes realizes how her life has been stuck and how she has been stuck in this situation as a result of what happened to her in grad school. And it's sort of a story of her working through her pain and trauma and pulling herself out of it and trying to find a way to rebuild a life after everything falls apart in a rather quick and sort of instant way. While she was in grad school, she was assaulted by her advisor and professor, which casts her into a state of turmoil. And even though she is able to, quote, move on, she never quite heals from that event. And the film works backwards in a way, starting in the present day and then telling us in a elongated flashback what occurred 3.5-4 years earlier. And it's sort of working in that non-linear structure that we see Agnes in grad school, what happened as a result of her being assaulted, and then sort of the life events that occurred for her immediately after. She ultimately does complete her doctorate. She is able to become a part-time professor at the same college, and ultimately progresses to becoming a full-time professor at the college. And the movie weaves in, as I said, a lot of comedy to make the difficult topics palpable and tolerable, if you will, which is, again, not an easy task to make, but the script is so attentive and smart that it, in a lot of ways, the movie trusts its audience, which again speaks volumes about the script in and of itself, that there's not a lot of hand-holding, which I've have found that some movies that will deal with rather sensitive and difficult topics will sort of have to guide the audience. This script is well aware that the audience can sort of handle this material and situation, and then finds a way to sort of, in a lot of ways, give us a breather through the comedic moments. And not only are there moments of comedy, again, this is not a laugh out loud type of film, but it's just sort of dry wit and kind of, in a lot of ways, self-deprecation and charm. And that's all a testament to Eva Victor, who is not only, of course, director of the film, but they are phenomenal in the way they're able to portray both sort of the grieving process and also the healing process. And there's a few moments in the film where you sort of think that Agnes is going to spiral down into a dark abyss, but she never quite goes there. She's really just some kind of moving through life day by day, but is stuck in a perpetually neutral situation. And there's a moment right near the end of the film where she has a panic attack, and she is comforted by a local shopkeeper named Pete, who is played perfectly by the great John Carroll Lynch, who doesn't have a large role in the film, but it's such a standout moment that it really does drive home the ideas that this film is trying to get at about healing and coming to terms with a traumatic event that has defined this person's life at a very early stage. And this moment, it's a wonderfully human moment, and it really does capture the aims of the film, which is not only sort of dealing with trauma and processing it and rising above it, but also restoring faith in humanity and the capacity for rebuilding a life. And it's also just a sweet and funny scene altogether. Victor and Lynch's chemistry opposite each other is really wonderful, and it just plays into this film's surprising charm, which I was not expecting. But this is one of those moments where it sort of rises above the sorrow and the sadness to sort of have a moment that is both insightful and light at the same time. And if that wasn't good enough, the movie ends with her friend Liddy having a baby and coming out to visit her again. And at the end, she is watching the baby while Liddy and her wife go off to see a lighthouse. And it's in this moment where it's just Agnes talking with this newborn baby and having a very frank, open conversation. Again, it's one-sided because she's talking to a baby, but she laments the state of the world and how unfair it is that this poor baby is going to have to be brought into a shitty situation in a shitty world. But there is that sense of hope that maybe things can get better, that a better world is in fact possible. And Agnes is right there saying, whenever something happens to you, if you ever need someone to talk to, I will be there. And again, she's having this conversation with the baby, but it's so open and raw and honest and genuine that you just can't feel surprisingly positive as a result of this, because there is this recurring theme and line that comes back throughout the film, and she says it right here: sometimes bad stuff just happens. And that's a wonderfully frank observation. Sometimes bad stuff just happens. It is part of life. We're all going to be dealing with it in some way, shape, or form. We're all going to have bad stuff happen, unfortunately, but it is part of life. And out of every bad, there is some good. And it's in that just one-sided conversation where Agnes is really just pouring her heart out and sort of looking at this newborn baby as almost a way of thinking that, yes, things can get better. There is hope for a better tomorrow, that even amidst all the gloom and the darkness, we can heal, we can recover, we can rebuild, and yes, things can ultimately get better. And if there is no better indication of that than a newborn baby with the world right in front of them, the world right at their fingertips. Again, such a surprising and uplifting film, despite the heavy subject matter and the themes that are going on here. But Victor crafts a story that works on many levels and layers, and it stays with you. This film has stayed with me since I watched it the other night. It is a true gem, and I am looking forward to watching this director in the future and seeing what else they put out 2, 3, 4 films down the line. Because if this, again, is this being the debut movie, the sky is truly the limit. But the ability to work in really complex and dire themes, but also to spin it in a way where there's wit and charm and an uplifting message at the end of it, utter perfection. And I have no notes on this film other than just the effusive praise that I have already given it, and can confirm and affirm that the praise that the film has been receiving up until this point, and I'm expecting will receive as more and more people discover it, it is all true. So the film Sorry Baby, it really is in contention for being one of the best films of the year. And again, the title itself, I was wondering where it would ultimately come to fruition, and it's really right there in that conversation that Agnes is having with the little baby. And in a lot of ways, it's both an apology, but it's also an acknowledgement of reality that, yeah, sometimes bad stuff is going to happen, but it doesn't have to be a be-all and end-all. And I think that is a really impactful and powerful message that we all need in our lives. And the fact that, again, a movie is able to deliver that on such a spiritual level and kind of a larger esoteric level is really all the more profound and wonderful. So Sorry Baby, highly recommend this film. It's from A24 Studios, and yeah, I will continue to sing the praises for this film all the rest of the year, because it is that good, a true gem of a movie. On that note, everybody, thank you as always for tuning in for another episode. That does it for me today. I'll be back next week where we'll do this all over again for the love of movies. Phil's covering every movie dream. Phil at the movies makes every movie a dream.